I want to talk about a couple of things before we go farther. I told Kathleen I wanted to do the tithe and offering time today. Usually she does it. I don't want to do that first. I want to read this first. Put up the website first, or the picture, please. I'm going to talk about one of our projects that we do. You know that we believe that one of the things I was asked several times by young ministries, said, how come you and Kathleen have done so well in the traveling ministry? And we had the money that we had coming in to the traveling ministry. And my answer is always the same. A church and a ministry survives out of what goes out, not what comes in. And it's what we sow, not only in this community, and we do a substantial amount of sowing in this community, as well as the other communities that are represented here, not only with our outreaches, but in other things too. But one of the things, and I actually had everybody share that went to Israel on, that's okay. I was trying to get that out of the way. I got it out of the way really good. I dropped it. I wanted everybody to share on Wednesday night that had been to Israel, because one of the things that touched everybody on this trip, this church has been involved with a ministry called Ministry to Israel. You know it as Michael Utterback. We've taken suitcases of clothes, brand new clothes, and just handed them the suitcase. Fact is, one time when I went with one of those suitcases this church had filled up, a guy tapped me on the back in JFK when we're about to get on the airplane to go to Israel, and I turned around and it was Michael, and he flew with us. And so we just handed him the suitcase when we got to Israel, and he took it on to. And what those are, for those that don't know what that part of the program is those clothes go to families. We had a family come and talk to this last group that had found their own way from the Ukraine. They came from, and I can't say the name of the town, but that town, there was a lot of fighting going on, a lot of poverty, and they just found their way to Israel. But then they got to Israel and they couldn't keep a job. In 2.5 years, he had 11 jobs, trying to make a living, support his family. He came with 3 kids. He couldn't get his papers done. As he got his papers done, it was done because Ministry to Israel, Michael Utterback and his group, got involved not only with that, but now they helped him get started his own business. In Haifa, he doesn't own a car, but he has a car wash. And that's what him and his family, the night that he came to talk to us, he left his 14-year-old boy taking care of the car wash. And by the way, now they don't have 3 kids, they have 4 kids, because they had another one born in Israel. Their papers have come through. And I will just tell you that I was asked, and we'd already taken care of it. We'd already decided what we were going to do. Michael came back and he said, do you think an offering would be appropriate? All I'm going to tell you is the people were bawling when they went home, because the people touched, blessed them so much financially. And part of it was some money that came from this church. And the reason I shared all that, I'm about to show a video, but I want to read something. We've got a picture up here. This is actually off of Ministry of Tourism. I've read this particular scripture several times. Jeremiah 21:8 says that, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. And what it actually said is, that verse says, I'll be no longer known as the God who brought them out of Egypt, but I brought them out of the north country. And so from Russia and Ukraine, we realize it's prophecy coming to pass. So when you sow money there, you're sowing money in prophecy coming to pass. Save a Child's Heart's one of those places that we've been partners with. This actually is on this website under this picture. It says, the greatest prophetic sign, this is called Jews' Return to Israel in the Last Days. The greatest prophetic sign of the last days is without question the return of the Jews to the land of Israel. No single time period since the days of Jesus has more biblical prophecies come to pass as the one you and I are living in right now. For instance, in 1948, according to God's promises, Israel became a nation. Then in 67, Jerusalem was restored to the Jews. A powerful indication that indeed these are the days of favor and restoration for the Jewish people spoken by the prophets. The restoration of the land and the return of the Jew to their land, however, have not been without conflict, hardship, and war. Anti-Semitism, persecution, and centuries-old hatred of the chosen people helped to fuel the fire within their heart that one day the coming come home to their land and their beloved city. In the late 1800s, the homing pigeon spirit was awakened in the hearts of Jews worldwide, and God began whistling for His children to return, and they have come home. God calls Christians to help Jews come home. Another prophetic phenomena hidden in the Scripture that is, according to the prophets, God would one day call the Gentile believers in God of Israel to carry the descendants of Abraham back to their promised homeland. Since 1991, when the Iron Curtain came down, ministry to Israel has assisted in the gathering and transporting of tens of thousands of the Jewish immigrants to Israel, working with the Jewish agency and through partnership with Christian organizations, especially with Ezra International, is playing a significant role. And it goes on farther. One of the things that stood out about this couple, sometimes we think that, okay, well, what do we have to do with the Jew? If the root isn't strong, the grafted branch won't be strong. So we know that we have to keep the root strong. The other thing is this Jewish couple that I told you about, what I didn't tell you was they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So many of the people that are coming from Russia and Ukraine and those places are actually believers coming home. They are Jews, but they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, like our guide that we normally use, and we don't have her in November, but we have another Messianic Jew. Our guide was one of those that escaped from behind the Iron Curtain and is a Christian and gets to evangelize the other Jews. She does some tours that she doesn't charge for. So what we bless her with helps her do that outreach that she does. The reason she doesn't charge for those is because she gets to take Ukrainian Russian Jews and preach the gospel because she's not getting paid for it. So they can't tell her not to do it. And so we look at all the things that we're partners with, and we're not only partners with Ezra, which you're going to see a short video, and I want you to just see in the very first, the guy on the end that gets his hand shook is Michael Utterback, because he's part of Ezra. And Ezra is who John was in the Ukraine with just before we went, and they're bringing those Jews and getting their papers done to come out. So, you know, when we do our outreaches around the world, to Nigeria, to Uganda, to Tanzania, and to Israel, we're literally bringing prophecy to pass. You are bringing prophecy to pass. That's not something that just Kathleen and I are doing. It's what you're doing around the world and sharing. And so when we go to the tithes and offerings box, and we use a treasure chest because if you haven't been here very long, we use a treasure chest because Kathleen got a vision that where your heart is, there also is your treasure. So we use a treasure chest to put our tithes and offerings in. We will have another treasure chest. We've got another one just like it. We just haven't found it in the last couple of weeks over on the other side since we've changed the stage some. But I want you to watch this quick. This is from Ezra, which ministry to Israel is involved deeply with Ezra. In fact, Michael goes back and forth to the Ukraine and to Russia to get the people that he then sows into their life with washing machines, clothes, things like that. That's what the clothes that we hand them, they do. When people are in need, they come to him. We were there one day, when I got there, there was two families standing at the door waiting for them to open so they could get clothes, food, and money to help them pay their rent. So they're truly sowing into. And that's one of the people that we're... So what you have to remember is when you sow your seed, you are sowing into lives around the world as well as here in our community, not just into this church. But part of it is, I'm not going to kid anybody. It takes money to pay the bills in the church. So part of the money stays here, part of it goes out. But we survive. I was asked this question. David Nekrutman, when he was here, he asked me, he says, how do you support the church that you support with the few people that you have? I said, because the people know that the only way that they survive in their life is to sow, and we survive in the church by sowing. And so I can't tell you how everything gets done. I can just tell you God is faithful in everything He does always. Go ahead and play the video.
And He will lift up a standard for the nations, and will assemble the banished ones of Israel, and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Since its founding in 1995, Ezra International has responded to God's calling on the nations to rescue Jewish people from danger and from poverty, to help them return to Israel, and to restore them to their land and to their God in fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures. Ezra International's teams rescue Jewish people around the world from extreme poverty, hopelessness, and at times from danger. Often a Red Sea of poverty prevents many from even considering the costly process of moving to Israel. Yet today, the same God who parted the Red Sea for their ancestors thousands of years ago is parting the Red Sea of poverty and hopelessness to bring them home again. Moving to Israel can be a complicated and expensive undertaking, but Ezra International's teams guide each family and individual every step of the way. We offer financial help, but even more importantly, we extend a hand of friendship, giving much-needed moral support. On a practical level, we cover the fees for passports and visas, organize transport to airports in the former Soviet Union and South America, and coordinate transport to Israeli consulates for interviews, document verification, and the receipt of visas to Israel. The ministry of Ezra International restores hope in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Jewish people in need. Those we assist while they document their Jewish heritage gain a stronger sense of their Jewishness, in the process understanding more fully the precious heritage they have. Indeed, God promised hundreds of years ago through the prophet Ezekiel that as they return to Israel, they will at the same time be restored to Him. Currently, Ezra International is working in 10 countries in the former Soviet Union. God is calling all believers from all the nations to participate in this important end-time work. Through the rescue, return, and restoration of the Jewish people, the Lord's name is honored among the nations. Please visit our website today to learn how you can become a part of this prophetic and practical end-time ministry. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, declares the Lord. Visit our website and connect with us on Facebook.
So that just gives you an idea of some of the things that were going. And by the way, none of those are copyrighted. They can go on our service today, the things that I put up there. You know, the cool thing is you don't have to go to Ezra International on the web. You can go there and look and see what they do. But because we are, as a church, directly connected, we can directly do anything that we want with them when John and I go, because every trip we have them come. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings, and I'm going through some different things. We're going into a couple of weeks of the names, titles, and symbols of the Holy Spirit. The reason those are important. What a great song. We're the body. You know, I love the last one, but we're the body. And the word the Lord gave me at the first of the year is that as the body, we were going to move more into signs and wonders than has ever happened in the world to this point. Now, somebody says, how does that line up with the Bible? The Bible says that the anointing will grow stronger the closer to the end we are. So we should operate in the same gifts of the Spirit and in the same fashion that the disciples did in the book of Acts. But we should do it even in a bigger and stronger way. And we go, well, you know, there was 3,000 and there was 5,000 added to the church. So what? How many people are in the world today? Look at what can happen through, if you go back to the third chapter of Acts and look at what happened when Peter and John said, silver and gold I don't have, and John's not here, so I can't go grab him by the hand, and I won't do it to Gloria. But Roddy's real close, so I could do it to him. They didn't say, hey, God, if it be your will. They got him by the hands. They said, be healed. And he jumped up and he went in. And how many people got saved that day in the temple ground? We're talking about a 35-acre parcel of ground that the Temple Mount is on. So they were going into the gate that was called Beautiful. They were going into that temple area, about 35 acres, and 5,000 people got saved because they saw a man that had been lame from his mother's womb. Now, what's exciting about that to me is when we operate in those kind of things, we see those people come to know Jesus Christ. It is exciting when, you know, and it doesn't just happen in Africa and in other parts of the world. There has been a time we had Kathleen and I had the ministry booth that represented all the cowboy ministries at National Finals Rodeo, and a lady comes in on crutches and left her crutches when she left. So we see those kind of things happen on a basis of when it needs to be. And what you need to get a picture of, what I want you to get a picture of through all of this teaching on the Holy Spirit, is it's not something of the past. It's something of the day and the future. Because what Peter said, he said, this gift is to you and your children and all those who are afar off. Say, I'm afar off. We are that church that is afar off. From what Peter said. Not to the end. We're not to the end yet. No. The Holy Spirit movement in the earth will not happen until the end. And the Holy Spirit will move that way till the end. And it only depends on you, the body, we, the body, how we project. That's why I said, what a prophetic song. Because the truth is, the body is healing today. The body is opening blind eyes today. The body is raising the dead today. And it's simply our ability to be able to understand who we are and where we're going and how we're going to get there that keeps it from happening on a minute-to-minute basis. Because the opportunity presents itself on a minute-to-minute basis every single day. All I have to do is open my eyes and be ready. Are you ready? And that's what I want you to do. I want you to be ready. I'm going to tell you that, and many of you know them because you were here when they were here. Stephen and Kelly Crawford, when their family became part of our body, it happened at Starbucks. I know nobody believes I'd go to Starbucks, huh, Don? Right? We're sitting in Starbucks, and I'll tell you who it was. Michael Elliott and I were sitting in Starbucks in the big fluffy chairs. And we were talking, and him and I prayed about something. And a lady standing at the counter comes over, and she goes, "My baby's got his intestines growing on the outside." She pulled his shirt up, and his intestines were growing on the outside. It was, I'm sorry, I forgot his name. He's Gunny. Thank you. Gunny. It was Gunny. She says, "We pray for him." I laid hands on him. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I tell these intestines to go on the inside and to grow the way God created you to." And instantly it happened. That's Starbucks in Weatherford, Texas. And that's how that family came to this church. And now they're in another church over in East Texas where they moved to. And we see, it's those kind of things. That's not anything about me. It's about the name of Jesus that you carry every single day. And you have the opportunity, no matter where you're at, for that to happen. I use that for an excuse to go to Starbucks every day. So, there you go. So, through the names, the titles of the Holy Spirit, we better understand His character and ministry. That's what I want you to get. It's not just the character of the Holy Spirit, but it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We found last week, Jesus said, "I'll send a comforter," that He'll live inside of you. He'll teach you of the things, remind you of the things that I've said, and teach you of things to come. So we realize that means the Holy Spirit is resident in my life, so I have the character of God through the infilling of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "My Father and I'll come and make our home inside of you." And then He said, "When I go, I'll send a comforter that He'll live in you." And so we realize that that's what it's about. Sometimes, so many times, we get tied up in, and we still have many people from the generation that the old Pentecost just got the name of the Holy Rollers and all that. And so we get tied up in thinking of that when we think of the move of the Holy Spirit. The fact is the move of the Holy Spirit is about people. It's about touching people. It's amazing that I get a prayer language that the Bible calls something that is between me and God. The Spirit prays through my spirit, but that's not the goal. That's just one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The goal is it's about people's lives being changed. And when we look at that, we realize God cares about people. He doesn't just care about me. It's not just that I'm going to prosper, I'm going to be healed, I'm going to walk in divine health, I get all the things that He said, but it's about the people that I come in contact with have the right to have exactly the same thing. You have to make a choice not to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to not get to heaven. You have to make a choice not to let healing take place. I'm going to tell you something that happened we were in Cheyenne, Wyoming during Frontier Days one year. Jerry Martin, and if you've been here very long, you know Jerry. And I think they're going to be back here again in February. Jerry and myself Kathleen and his wife, we were doing an outreach in Lions Park across from the rodeo grounds. I'm telling you, it's raining straight down, and the chairs go outside. And, of course, if you haven't been in Cheyenne, Wyoming, or that part of the world in the summertime, in July, monsoon rains happen every day about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're supposed to set up the chairs at 4 o'clock. And we're going to set up 400 chairs. And we all grabbed hands. Fact is, Scott and Fonda were there that year with us. And we all grabbed hands around the back, and there was a guy from a church, I think it was down in Denver, that was up there that day too, and somehow he had got involved with Jerry. And when we grabbed hands, let's see, was Johnny Rowlett there too? Johnny Rowlett was the music that night. Johnny and all of us grabbed hands, and I said, Father, I see in the Bible that Jesus spoke to the wind to stop. Peace be still. I speak to the rain right now, and I tell you in the name of Jesus to stop all around this place in Lions Park. It was a gazebo in Lions Park. And we got done, and that pastor looked at me, and he goes, well, I hope that works. And Johnny Rowlett looked at me, and he goes, what are we going to do now? I said, we're leaving him out. Well, let's go out back and pray. And I went out back and I said, Father, forgive us for the unbelief that's been spoken. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this rain to stop over this gazebo. And I'm going to tell you, for 1,000 feet all the way around that gazebo, it stopped raining. We filled 400 chairs up for one reason. Because it was the only place it wasn't raining. That night, I'll never forget this. That night, a lady left a wheelchair at the gazebo. A boy got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and for 45 minutes he just kept falling back in my arms, and could he, because he was just like drunk in the spirit, and he couldn't. It was such a blessing to me, because here's a young guy. He was a teenager, probably a young college or late high school. And look what God had done. I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing I didn't do. I didn't say, God, that it won't rain. This rain can't happen until we get all the chairs back in. I mean, the minute the thing was over, the cloud burst came. And we had to put all the chairs back in the trailer in the rain. And so I realized the only thing I'd done is I needed to say, rain, stop until we get all the last chair in the trailer. And but it was good, because what happened? See, we're only limited by what we don't do. I want you to remember that the Holy Spirit will become a part of everything that we do that has to do with the Word. Now, that's not something that happened yesterday. That's something I expect to happen tomorrow if the need be. It's not something I remember as a past event. It's something that encourages me to move in that direction again. Raising a dead boy in a rodeo arena isn't something that I remember from the past. It may present itself again tomorrow. And if it does, that'll be the place that the Holy Spirit will move and participate. That's why it's so important that we understand the names, titles, and symbols of the Holy Spirit. Christ, we looked last week, we're going to look again at this, because, and you'll notice that a few of these things that we do are overlap each other. But what you need to understand is we can't limit God in one area. We realize that God overlaps every area of our life and wants to overlap every area of our life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. I don't want you to be quiet. You know, just because I'm talking doesn't mean it makes me preach better when you talk back, okay? The very word Christ means the anointed. It is by the Holy Spirit that Jesus indwells believers, and they in turn become anointed. Therefore, the name Christ is what the Holy Spirit is, the anointing manifest. Go to Colossians 21, 26, and 27. Colossians 1, 26, and 27. Now, I always encourage you, and I know a lot of you realize that I put the scriptures on the on the screen. I encourage you and give you time to look at your own Bible, because I believe that you need to write in your Bible. I need to know that you need to circle things, things that really speak to you that maybe you haven't seen before. Every time I get to studying something, I thought, wow, I wonder when I marked that. And you can't mark on my screen, sorry. So you got to mark in your own Bible. If you don't mark in your own Bible, mark in your neighbor's, and they'll be blessed for it. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and the generations, but has now been revealed to His saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So all of a sudden we see more than just Christ being the anointing, but we also see that that anointing brings the hope of the glory that will live inside of us by this Scripture. We realize that if I want to walk into the glory of God, I always remember something that Kenneth Hagin shared. He talked about his grandmother. He said one time that when God was healing him, the glory filled the room, and his grandmother got back and she ran at the room because she wanted to get in the glory cloud. And he said she just like kind of bounced off because the glory was so thick. And all she could think was, I want to get into that glory. Do you know that we can walk into the glory of God through the infilling of the Holy Spirit? That glory comes to pass in our life, lives inside of us. And if that don't make you want to take a running spell, I don't know what will. The Comforter. Intercessor. We're looking at the names, titles, and symbols of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. Comforter, intercessor, counselor, advocate. Christ, or Jesus, had been their strength, but he could only be strength. He could only could be strength only to those whom he was in contact. Remember, Jesus is only in contact in your heart now. He was a comforter. He was the advocate. He was the friend of all of those that he was in contact with in those days. However, the Spirit is omnipresent. Therefore, He can be strength, or could be strength, to all. John 14:16. I want to remind you while you're turning to John 14:16 of something that Rusty Feltz said when he was here a few weeks ago. He said this. He said, sometimes we act like the devil is omnipresent. Well, he's attacking. And I'm just picking some people out, okay? He's attacking Roddy, he's attacking Michael, he's attacking Tim, he's attacking me. The devil's not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. So all of those things that sometimes we blame on him, we maybe have set something in motion ourselves. It's just life. And we've got to come into a place. But God is omnipresent. God can be in your heart, my place, in my hands, in your hands, anytime that we want to tap into that and we want to become part of what God wants to do. God's not somebody that just pushes His way in. That's somebody else that we know in the spirit realm, not the God that we serve. The God that we serve wants you to be a servant, wants you to say yes, wants you to be part of, a participant of what He wants to do. And that's how He becomes a participant of what I want to do. Because I said, Lord, I want you to be here and part of that. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you for a day or so. No, forever. He'll abide with you forever. That means forever. I think it's real simple to say forever. You know, sometimes our finite minds, we look at something and somebody says, maybe it's our husband or our wife, that says, I will love you forever. And then some kind of, and I realize that nobody else has this, but some kind of little tiff comes, and it's like, who are you? And so we get that kind of thinking in our mind. God is not that way. When God says forever, He means forever today. I realize that nobody else ever has any little things like that in their life. So I just exposed something, right? Spirit of God. Number three, the Spirit of God. Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. I didn't say John 3:16. I said Matthew 3:16. Somebody say, I'm here. Matthew 3:16. When He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending on Him like a dove and lighting upon Him. And so ever since this scripture was read and understood, certain denominations have used a dove as the sign of the Holy Spirit, because that's something we can tangibly see. What you have to understand is, just because you don't tangibly see the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that He's not present in your life. He is present in our life. The Bible tells us that we can't see Him or hear Him. But we can't, you know, it's not just like the second chapter of Acts where they heard a mighty rushing wind. I'm going to tell you, one night I was preaching. I realize you don't believe I'd ever preach on the Holy Spirit, but I was in a little church. I was preaching on the Holy Spirit. I said, and the wind's blowing again. And about that time I turned and I got between two doors and you heard, shh. I thought, man, God, you're so cool, because it worked just exactly right in that place. But if you don't hear that mighty rushing wind, doesn't mean He's not there. He is present in that place. Well, this should be number four. I got number three again. Spirit of the Lord. Luke 4:18. Spirit. We're looking at the names, titles, and symbols of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look in the New Testament, the Old Testament, and all the way through. This will be 2 weeks that this is going to take. Matthew 3:16. I'm sorry. I went backwards. Luke 4:18. I don't even know how to make this thing go backwards, and it went backwards. So, you know, I mean, I figured something else out, I think. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed." Well, now I jumped way ahead. I want you to do something here. Now, this is not sacrilegious, and it's not wrong, what I'm about to tell you to do. I realize this is red letter. Jesus told us, as I am, you will be. He said, all the authority has been given to me, I give it to you. Remember when he ascended. So you look at this, and this is red letter. This is Jesus. But when Jesus ascended and He gave you the authority, now I could look at this and say, the Spirit of the Lord is on David, because He has anointed David to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent David to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery to the sight of the sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. That is what God has called you to do in the earth today, to participate in that and to be part of that. Now, this is talking about Jesus, and we realize this is an account of Jesus, but this is something that the Holy Spirit will do in you, through you, and with your participation, because He won't do it for you. You have to participate. We have to be the hands of the body in order to have this to come to pass. So now I guess I got three again, but it's number five. Somehow the way I cut and paste out of the Bible school book, it comes up this way. The Holy Spirit represents, by the way, I'm not, for anybody that doesn't know, I'm not plagiarizing. It's a Bible school book I wrote, so I'm not plagiarizing somebody else's stuff. The Holy Spirit represents the Godhead during the church age. He is therefore the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of the Lord. Who's the Lord? Say the Father. Remember, in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the three in one. Lord from the Old Testament meant Father. Jesus is the name of the Son, and Christ is the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ represents the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we realize that it is the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of God. In other words, He is the Spirit of the Godhead. Turn to Romans 8, 9, and 10. And we're going to stay in Romans 8 for a little bit. Romans 8, 9, and 10. Somebody shout hallelujah when you're there. Okay. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Wait a minute. Do I live in the flesh, or do I live in the Spirit? See, that's one of the things I believe that we have so many things that we deal with on a daily basis because we try to live in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And if we'll live in the Spirit, half the things that we get into every day, we won't get into. Because the Spirit will lead and guide us in the right places. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We realize that the Spirit is what gets reborn. Now I've got to bring my body under subjection to the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit lives in me and the Spirit of my man comes under subjection to the Holy Spirit, then I bring my body under subjection. What am I going to do? I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm going to act the way God wants me to act. And I'm going to be who He wants me to be in this earth. Don't get so excited. Number 6. Okay, you can keep your finger in Romans 8 or put a marker there because we're coming back. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The funny thing is, when I figured out that it was doing this, I didn't realize it had been doing it. I changed some of the numbers, but that was farther down in there. So, Spirit of Promise, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I'm reminded of something for those that have been to Israel and heard Moshe. I'm always reminded when I read things like what we just read that you heard the gospel of your salvation. Moshe says, it was only a few years ago that I realized that Christians, he's a Jew. He says, I'm not a Messianic Jew, I'm a Jew. And he says, but I love God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my spirit. He said, but I always thought Christians love salvation because that's all they ever talked about, trying to get me saved. And he said, it's just recently that I realized that they love God. And it's not just salvation. And so I remember that whenever I read that. We have to remember that it is God the Father who sent the Son that we could have salvation through the love that He showed us. So it's my love of God the Father, God the Son, that brings me to the place of salvation. And so we get in that position. Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endowed with power from on high." So we realize that it is the Spirit of promise. We, if you look on our website or one of the teachings that's here, you realize that I called it the promise of the Father, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit or whatever else you want to call it, because the promise of the Father was that He would send a Comforter, a Spirit to live in us and to guide us. Turn to Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. Remember that when you get into Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, what's considered the minor prophets, the major prophets, we have to realize that there was prophecy of Jesus Christ, of things to come, of things that would happen to us through the Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, "I will give you a new heart. I will put in you a new spirit," or "I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And I will keep my judgments and do them." Remember, the judgments aren't just don't do this and don't do that. The judgments, there's more promises in the Bible that benefit me than rules that I should follow. So when He says, "I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes," it's not a burden. One of the things that, and this stands out to me because it's how we should be as believers. Moshe also says this. He says, you know, people always say, "Well, you know, we're trying to get you freed from the burden of walking in the what the commandments say." He says, to me, doing what the God that I love with all my heart, all my mind, and all my spirit isn't a burden. It's just something I want to do because I love Him too. And so that gave me a different perspective to understand. You know, sometimes I remember growing up, Christians that was like, "Well, you know, can't do that. Can't do this." And so I got a perspective growing up, and not that it was ever taught from the pulpit, but what I understood from other Christians, that being a Christian was kind of a burden. And it was kind of one of those things, man, I can't have no fun because I'm a Christian. And then I found out, man, if you're not having a blast as a Christian, talk to Kathleen and I, because I am having a blast. I believe that life couldn't get any better than it is, and it gets better every single day because of Jesus Christ and what we live in and walk in. I told a guy the other day, he says, "When are you going to retire?" I said, "I don't know. I've been traveling like this for 42 years. I don't know how to do anything else. And I'm enjoying it. I love what I do. I love when I travel. I love more when I come home. And I love to do what we're doing right now and be here with you." But I tell you, God has given us the opportunity in our lives, not Kathleen and I, I'm talking about all of us as a body, to reach people. And if we reach people and realize God is about those people, He is about me, but He's about people. And I'm just part of the people. And that's the only reason. I mean, I keep telling Fonda I'm His favorite, but she keeps telling me I'm wrong. Joel 2:28 and 29. Joel 2:28 and 29. We're talking about the names, titles, and symbols of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. Joel 2:28 and 29. I'm going to give you a little hint, because we if you've been here very long, you find out we play Bible roulette around here. because I'm all over the Bible. Don't be afraid to look in the index if you don't know where a book is. I'm not. I think it's really cool that our Learning Center, the kids learn the books of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I've heard them quote them, and that's a kudos to our director for what she does. But I think maybe I need to go spend some time with them. All right. Joel 2:20. Yeah, I disrupt class when I go up there. I have the ability to stick my head in, and everybody goes, "Hi, Pastor," and the teacher goes, because it just interrupted her whole class. So, all right. Thank you for reminding me of that, Tamara. "And it shall come to pass after that, that I will pour my spirit," it's a capital M and a capital S, "my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." I always want to remind everybody I'm still seeing visions. "And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So we look at what happened at the baptism of Jesus when the Spirit came and landed on Jesus. We realize that because the promise of the Father, He said, "It is expedient that I go to the Father, or else the Holy Spirit won't come." Is exactly what Jesus said. We realize that it was important because He wanted us to be filled with His Spirit, to be able to move by the gifts of the Spirit, to be able to move in the Spirit in the world today, because it is that Spirit that changes things. Hey, I got the right number here. 7. Spirit of truth. Jesus said that He had taken the disciples only part of the way in their understanding. However, the Spirit would guide them into all truth. Turn to John 16:13. John 16:13. John 16:13 says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you of things to come." So we realize we're still talking about a Godhead that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father tells the Holy Spirit what to do and what to tell you, and tell you of the things to come. Turn to 1 John 5:6. 1 John 5:6. First John 5:6 says, "This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. But not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, one of the things, and so somebody doesn't ask me this later on, what does that mean by water and the blood? When there is birth, they're in a water sack. Remember, when the water breaks, then the baby comes. And that's what this is talking about. This is water and the blood. He came by two things. He not only came by the Spirit from God, but He also came from an earthly mother. And the Spirit bears witness that He came from a virgin. Even though the world doesn't believe that a virgin can have a baby, we know that the Bible teaches us that it is absolutely the truth. I don't ever say anything when... He is the Spirit of grace. Turn to Hebrews 10:29. I don't go with the idea of doing anything but being who I am and loving the root. But one day I was standing at the Dead Sea, and I know that you don't believe I drink espresso, but I was standing at an espresso bar, and there was a conversation between a Jew that I knew and another Jew that reads the Old Testament and the New Testament, both. And there's certain group of Jews that live in the Dead Sea that they read the Old Testament, or excuse me, they read the New Testament too. And something was said. They ask, because the Jews believe that Jesus was the son of Joseph. That's how they get away from the virgin birth. And so, because he read the New Testament, the other one asked him, he says, so do you believe that Jesus was born, was the son of God, or was he the son of Joseph? And he goes, well, he was the son of Joseph. I said, you're not reading the New Testament. He said, yes, I am. I said, no, because he said, I am the Christ, the son of God. And he was either a lunatic and a liar, or he was telling the truth. And I walked away. And later on, the other Jew happened to be a guy that I was traveling with at that time. He looked at me and he goes, you gave me something to think about. I hadn't ever thought about it that way before. Because this particular guy was a guide, and he read the New Testament just like he believed it. And I really believe that there's going to come a time, because of that simple conversation, that, see, we don't have to go, well, you're going to hell. What we have to do is we have to be who God's called us to be. That's part of being led by the Spirit. And that's the reason I shared that, because it's being led by the Spirit and realizing we're dealing with the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29 says, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? When we look at that, we realize that it is the Spirit of grace that sent Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of grace that raised Jesus from the dead. And it is that Spirit of grace that is poured out on each and every one of flesh on a daily basis in their life. And they make a choice whether they follow Jesus Christ or they don't follow Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit of grace is present in all places in the earth today. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Okay, I don't want you to be quiet. I think maybe you went to sleep. And I can't step in front here now and go, good preaching, Pastor, because I'll fall off the front. Spirit of life. Number 9, Spirit of life. The source of our spiritual life is the Holy Spirit. He causes the new birth and enables us to live the abundant life Jesus spoke of in John 10:10. I'm just going to quote that. We're not going there. Go back to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse 1. John 10:10. Jesus said, I am come that you... Now I'm skipping the first part about the devil. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that word was Zoe. It was the God kind of life. And so when we look at that and realize that it is the Spirit of life that it was talking about that will cause us to come into a place that we receive the abundant life that God wants. That's here today. It's not in the life to come. Because in the life to come, I don't need the abundant life. I'm going to be in the presence of abundance. And I need the abundant life right now. I'll tell you what the abundant life consists of. I apologize that we live in a place that only equates abundance with finances. That's part of it. He says that he has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. But abundant life starts with a spiritual abundance through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then it's a mental abundance, because I have peace and joy, and I know I'm not worried about anything because I know who I know. And people always say, you know, it's who you know. that counts. Hey, I know the right guy. His name is Jesus Christ. And because I know Him, I know that I've got a mental abundance. And then I get a physical abundance because by His stripes I was healed. And then I get a financial abundance because I know how to give. So I live in the realm of give and receive. And I get the abundance that God plans on me to have. And then it's a social abundance, because the Bible says that if you commit your way to God, that you'll find favor with God and man. And so I'm promised abundance in that place too, and having friends. I mean, look how big my family is. Can somebody say amen? All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And everybody stops right there. Well, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But it goes on. See, it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So if I walk according to the Spirit, then I'm going to get that abundant life. If I walk according to the Spirit, I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't have to worry about I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. Because I'm not worried about the don't do this and don't do that. But instead, I'm concerned about having the abundant life because I follow what the Spirit says. It goes on in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit, of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not worried about dying anymore. I'm not worried about dying spiritually and living in a godless eternity, because I know the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life lives in me and causes me to come into that place. The last thing we're going to look at this week is the Spirit of adoption. We are not adopted into the family of God in a normal sense, but we get into it by the new birth. Yet we are not of the natural branches, we are grafted. You remember I said, if the root isn't strong, then the grafted branch can't be strong. And we can go to an orchard where they graft a branch in. I'm going to tell you, the sweetest plum I ever eat in my life was grafted into a peach tree. And I mean, if that peach tree root hadn't been strong, the grafted plum would have never been sweet. It wouldn't have even grown. And we have to realize, because we're in the Spirit of adoption, go to Romans 8, 15 and 16. Told you we were going back to Romans. You thought I forgot what I said, right? Romans 8, 15 and 16. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is a personal name that somebody that doesn't know, a servant can't use that name. It was only family that could use that name, Abba Father. It was a personal name. So we get to use a personal name. Verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Turn over to Romans 11, 11 to 25. Romans 11, 11 to 25. I want you to remember what we're looking at. We're looking at the Spirit of adoption. Romans 11, verse 11 says, I say then, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you as Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who were in my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciliation of the world, that I will their acceptance be but life from the dead. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them become a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do you not boast against the branches? But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of the unbelief they were broken off. If you stand by faith, do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted in into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Thus, everything that I said about being grafted branches and the root has to be strong, I just read to you from Romans the truth of the gospel of what God said through Paul to the Romans about keeping the root strong and realizing that, you know, I'm not to be haughty, but I'm to be cognizant of the fact that God, in His wisdom, let you and I come into the fold, and the fold will become who it was supposed to be before it's over. And we realize that God's plan is perfect in all things, because if salvation had only stayed with the Jew to start with, would we, the Gentiles, be here? It made all the disciples go to the Gentiles because of the rejection of the Jews at that time. And so we realize that what Paul was dealing with, he was dealing with the church at Rome. He wasn't dealing with Jews. He was dealing with Gentiles. And he was telling them, hey, don't get too big for your britches. But instead, he said, realize that it was God's grace that brought you into the spirit of adoption, so that later on He could regraft the branches that were supposed to be. And so we see how the fullness of the gospel is going to come to pass in all areas in our life. And it's up to you and I how we listen to the Holy Spirit and we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. I believe with all my heart that it wasn't just my desire for double espresso that day that had me in the right place at the right time that made somebody think, but instead God used my desire for a double espresso to open the door for food for thought. And I believe that that food for thought is going to come to pass. I believe with all my heart. I told you that people that have been here know about the 61-year-old Muslim guy that I led to Jesus. And I've got another Muslim friend that I know. He's called me brother long enough that he's doomed. He's going to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that prophecy came from his mouth, not mine. So we look at how the spirit of adoption is going to work. And I felt that was the place I wanted to close today, not just because of time. And I have kept you a little longer than we normally do. But forgive me for that if you had other plans. But I believe that the spirit of adoption was the place to stop, because the spirit of adoption is who God's about. God is about people. And it is the spirit of adoption that will cause people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As always, I want to give you the opportunity that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to just say that. Paul said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised us from the dead. So, you know, we get into this idea that we got to say, well, God, I'm such a sinner. He already knew that. All we have to do is say, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I believe that God raised him from the dead. Because that's what Paul said. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So even if you're watching by internet, I want you to say this out loud with me. Each and every one of you, say this out loud with me. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I believe God raised him from the dead. If you did that and meant it from the bottom of your heart, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family by the internet. If you did do that by internet, please email us at the website that you're going to see in a minute, and let us know that you've done that. We'd love to send you some things to help you. If you're in the house and you did that, okay. I was going to say, Fonda's going to raise her hand, but I guess she doesn't know where it's at. I think somebody moved things in the church. So come see me and I'll get you some stuff. Know that Jesus loves you and so do we. Father, we thank you for the word that you've spoken to our spirits today. That each one of us, as we live this word, will fulfill the plan that you have for us. Thank you for your spirit that infills us. In the name of Jesus and by his blood, amen.